I love how we started our worship today. It prepares us for what we're going to hear in Joshua 9. And we're going to read a lot of Scripture today once again, and I feel like we need to understand Scripture so much better as we continue to read Scripture over and over again. When we understand that the Israelites have reached the promised land, obviously they had some restoration. He met Jesus, the incarnate Jesus. And I'm just, again, Jesus didn't come to play a part in our life. He came to take the place of our life. And we see that as Israel faced that first battle in Jericho. You know, they say that that battle in Jericho resembles that of our relationship with the world. Jericho represents the world. And how the power of God can just overcome the world when you listen, when there's obedience to God. And then we learned about the battle of Ai, the loss and the victory that they had. And what we learned about Ai and what others say is that Ai represents our flesh. In that constant battle that our flesh has to proclaim victory in our lives over what Jesus does in our life. And now we're going to see a group of another city, another area called Gibeon. And Gibeon is, before we get there, represents the devil. And so I really hope all ages are in your Bible right now to kind of look at this event in the history of life, not just a Bible story, but an event that changed the course of a country. Because a decision that Israel made was that of compromise. So we're going to look at that today in Joshua 9. And we see that Joshua is moving west. He's moving west, and I don't know if the map's up there or not. If it is, that's great. If it's the title today is Uncovering Deception. And if the map isn't there, just picture in your mind where the Israelites landed, where they set up camp, and that was a place called what? Oh, man. Okay, I'll help you. It was a place called Gilgal. All right. Gilgal is where they set up camp. So they left Gilgal, went to Jericho, overcame Jericho, was supposed to leave everything there, right, for God. And they came back to Gilgal, but there was a man who decided that he deserved just a little more than anybody else. And so it affected his whole family. And that man's name was Achan. All right. We're getting there. And as we learned about Achan, and what happens when there is sin in your camp, or when there is sin in your house, and you're covering it up. And then we found out Achan, and Achan was killed in the Battle of Ai. We learned about the Battle of Ai, and that's why they lost the Battle of Ai. And then we learned that there was victory in Ai because of why? Because Joshua went into prayer, and he prayed, and he said, all right, we're going to do it this way. God says do it this way. We're going to come around him. We're going to trap him. This was going to happen. So he listened to God. He didn't listen to God. Didn't listen to God. So here we are in another battle called we're going to call it Joshua 9, the association of the Gibeonites or the Hivites. So they're moving from Gilgal to Jericho to Ai to Gibeon. And then they'll move on to Bethel. So they're going to move far left. Joshua 9 tells a story as they conquer Canaan. And we're going to find out about the inhabitants of Gibeon. Let me just give you the cliff notes we'll read there. So there's a little country, a little area. I shouldn't say a country. There's just a little town, Gibeon. And they're going to say, you know what? We know that we can't win. So we're going to go and we're going to pretend that we're from some faraway country. And we know we heard the Israelites going to come conquer us anyway. So we're going to pretend that we're from a faraway country. And we're going to dress up in these old garments. We're going to take these old wineskins. We're going to take old sandals. Even though we only live 15 miles away, I want them to think, they say, that we've come from a long way away. It's deception. So in chapter 9, we're going to read this. Now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland and on the east coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard of it, that they gathered themselves together with one accord to fight with Joshua and to fight against Israel. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua, or heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they also acted craftily. And they acted craftily, and they set out as envoys and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins worn out and torn out and mended and worn out and patched sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. They're beginning to deceive. And we learn in the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, that let me just touch on that verse for just a minute about deception. In Ephesians 4:14, we read here, as a result, and this comes under Ephesians 4 about being unified under the Spirit. In chapter 4, verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking truth in love. So here we are having the Gibeonites very craftily coming in to meet with Israel. I'll continue to read. They went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a faraway country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you are living within our land. How can we make a covenant with you?" In other words, hey, perhaps you're trying to trick us. Maybe you don't live far away. Maybe you live within just a neighboring area of our life. But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And then Joshua said, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They said to him, "Your servants have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord God. We have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan." Let's stop right there. Don't ever skip over Scripture and wonder, why are they talking about the kings? Well, if you don't notice, the Gibeonites are talking about the kings on the other side of the Jordan. Because news traveled so slowly, they didn't want to give themselves up. So they said, hey, let's not tell them we know about Jericho. Let's not tell them we know about Ai. Because if we tell them that, they'll probably know that we're sneaking around. So man, they thought about this deception. They thought about this game. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, "Take provisions in your hand for the journey and go to meet them and say, 'We are your servants now. Make a covenant with us.' Our bread was warm when we took it for our provisions out of our houses on the day that we left to come to you, but now it's dry and become crumbled. These wineskins were filled with new, and behold, they are torn. And these are clothes, and our sandals are worn out because of the very long journey." There's a disguise going on in the camp now. There are people who are coming disguised as friendly foe and entering the camp in deception. And you're going to get the message here in just a minute as we read on. But that sets up the story about uncovering deception in our life. People will come into your life saying they're one thing, perhaps not even letting in a hint of already knowing your story, but wanting to grab a hold of your life and pull you along just to fit in. Joshua made peace with the Gibeonites and let them live. We're going to read that in just a second. And then swore an oath. But what got him in trouble? The covenant with these people got him in trouble. And I want you, before we get to the outline, I want you to think about that is the church. If Joshua and the elders represented the church today, we see that there'll be hindrance in the growth of the church by conforming to the schemes of the devil, compromising with worldly people, compromising with worldly religions, will always impede the growth of the church. And that's what we're going to see here today. It's when manipulation enters your camp. I think we've all experienced manipulation in our life. I think we've all looked at our life, and there's people that manipulate you in your life. And I don't think that the people who manipulate your life want to do harm. They just sometimes want to force their opinion or their fear in life on you. I believe that Jesus was manipulated in his ministry. Why? Well, think about the story of Mary Martha in Luke 10. Think about Martha's guilt trip she placed on Jesus. Jesus, can't you see what I am doing here? Can't you see what I'm doing here for you? That my sister has left me to do this? Can you please just tell her to help me? And Jesus' answer was very gentle. You're worried and bothered by so many things. You see, he didn't accept the manipulation. And people who use manipulation don't do it on purpose. It's just what's worked in their life. We begin to believe their story. And Joshua is believing their story. Joshua is believing the enemy. And that's the devil's work. To come in and scheme and to come alongside and say, hey, just try a little bit. See what I have to offer for you. So they're really clever. Verse 9 is telling. Look at verse 9. They said to him, your servants have come from a very far away because of the fame of the Lord your God. We've heard about you people. And we're so amazed at your God. So when Israel heard this, whew, they know about our God. These guys must be legit. The devil worked through the Gibeonites, working off a premise. And it goes like this. If you can't beat them, join them. If you can't beat them entirely, just fit in and begin to act like them. So let's get the enemy on the inside of the church. You see, that's Satan's plan. And I'll work among them, and I'll begin to forge an alliance. See, that's the Gibeonites. And just like the Israelites, do the same thing. And if you really think about it, as Christians today, we get duped. I think that's a word. We get duped by hearing any athlete or any actor mention the name Jesus. We hear all these things on TV. We watch all these people on sports fields. Oh, he must be a Christian. It's almost like, well, you know what? That's good enough for me. He mentioned the name Jesus. I think I'll become a fan. And then we begin to compromise. We've allowed manipulation to enter our camp. And that's what was done here. They made a decision to let manipulation come into their camp. And where do we see that? Look at verse 14. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. Most important verse in all the chapters we've already read. They did not seek counsel from the Lord. Do you think Joshua should have learned his lesson by now? Every battle he lost, he didn't seek counsel of the Lord. So they're going, you know what? I got this one, God. They seem to be okay people. I'll take this one. But that's what happens when reasoning overrules prayer. That's what happens when reasoning overrules prayer. They didn't guard their heart. And that was why we read chapter 2 in the book of Acts, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayer. That's all that we ask for. That's all that Jesus asked for. But I believe we don't expect God to answer us. Perhaps that's why we avoid praying. So that's why we avoid seeking counsel from the Lord in all areas of our life. I mean, if we expected him to answer, wouldn't we talk to him more often? I'll lead you in the way you should go, right? God desires us to find him. There's no way that we can outthink God. And Scripture continues to show us that. We have to come to the point in our life. We say, God, will you please take this away? This burden that I can't sleep, I can't feel myself to live, I can't get over this. Will you please take this? Because we know that God works all things together for good. Amen? I'm giving you my mistake, God, and asking you to redeem. And it came to the end, though, after the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. So I want you to make sure we're picturing this. They've just defeated Ai. And when Ai was defeated, remember, they got all the spoils. They're victorious. They're celebrating. And they're visited by the Gibeonites. Hey, we come from faraway country, and we kind of want to join you. And Joshua says, all right, come on. You can be a part of this. You can play a part of this. I want you to see how easy that is in our life to invite people in our walk with Christ to just come alongside. Before we say, Lord, is this the right thing for me? Before you enter in a covenant of marriage, before you enter a covenant with a job, whatever contract you have in life, are we seeking counsel from the Lord? Whatever friendship you have, whatever decision in life, are we saying, God, I got this. I got this one. As a church, are we saying, that looks like a good activity to do. That looks like fun. Maybe we'll do this one. Are we seeking counsel from the Lord? 3 days later, we read this. It came about the end of the 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were neighbors and then they were living within their land. Then the sons of Israel set out and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirah and Beeroth and Kiriath-Jearim. The sons of Israel did not strike them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. The leaders made a covenant that caused all the others to have to follow along because they didn't seek the Lord. Think the people were upset? Let's read the next verse. But all the leaders said to the whole congregation, and the whole congregation grumbled against the leaders. But the leaders said to them, we've sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we can't touch them. Verse 21, the leaders let them live. They became hewers of wood and drawers of water for the whole congregation, just as the leaders had spoken to them. And then Joshua called for them and spoke to them, saying, why have you deceived us, saying you're far away? Verse 24, they answered, because it was certainly told to your servants that the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore, we feared greatly for our lives because of you and have done this thing. We're in your hands. I guess that just goes to show if the enemy feels that he cannot be beat, he will come alongside and join you. If the enemy feels that he's going to be overpowered, he will come along your life and begin to walk beside you. But what do we see happen? What do we see happen? Joshua provides what to the Gibeonites? Mercy. And that's the last point that I want to make. When mercy meets truth. Psalm 85, verse 10, explains that. Once you make a covenant or a promise, you got to stick with it. You got to be a person of integrity. Our Christian life isn't about who we're trying to be, but it's who we truly are. The Gibeonites tried to deceive that of Joshua, like many people in our life will try to deceive us. He gave in, just like we'll give in. But there's a time in our life when truth will come along, and that's what we are offered. When our truth, whether we want to hear it or not, meets the mercy that's provided to us, it comes together at the cross. That's where mercy and that's where truth meet, is on the cross. Verse 85, Psalm 85, verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will say. He will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in your land. Loving kindness and truth, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. If mercy and truth meet together, if righteousness and peace are brought together, well, they must have been apart. And the only place they meet is on the cross. Because the gap between God and man is so vast, and God is so merciful. There's great truth in our life. Some of us try to hide that truth from others. And as we hide that truth from others, it affects our walk with Jesus. But Jesus only came to receive that truth, whether it's not what we want to give, whether it's not what we want others to see, but it's why he came. The place that truth meets mercy is on the cross. The leaders spoke truth to the camp. They held fast to their integrity. And the Gibeonites were humble enough to know that they couldn't win. They knew enough when it was time to surrender. I guess that's my encouragement for you today. There will be Gibeonites in your life. People will come to manipulate you. People will come to deceive you. And we'll reason. And we'll say, you know what? Maybe they're okay. They use the name Jesus. And we'll go along and we'll follow our life and we'll lead our life following that of another. And we'll seek truth in the wrong places instead of the face of Jesus Christ, where mercy and truth meet. We must be satisfied. We must be satisfied in our life. We must come to a point in our life that our truth will be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Full transparency, full surrender. Uncovering deception. Uncovering deception in your life leads to transformation. This is a hard chapter, But what you must pull from this chapter is that deception entered their life because of verse 14. They did not seek counsel from the Lord. Deception may enter. Deception may knock. It's up to you if you allow it to lead your life.